Okay, we've got just enough time left to play with the notion of congruence and incongruence as a starting point for congruence and incongruence. So I'm going to ask you to have fun thinking about what it means to you when you are incongruent versus congruent, and how have you overridden signals that you've gotten that something is not right for you, and then found out later you should have paid attention. Okay, examples of incongruence with me. I remember once, you know, they had those signs at intersections that look like a U-turn and then it's got a slash through it. And usually that means that you couldn't turn around and go back the opposite direction in an intersection. Usually you see those with stoplights. Well, I came to one of those when I was living in Salt Lake City. There was an island down the middle, and this was just kind of like a little side street. And I wanted to turn and go in this parking lot. And I sat and I looked at the stop sign stopped, looking at this going, does that mean I absolutely can't turn back that way? Or does that mean I could turn into the parking lot? Because I wasn't turning completely all the way around. I sat there and thought about that. I debated that inside my mind. Decided it didn't mean I couldn't turn into the parking lot. So I proceeded to go around this little island to turn into the parking lot. And before I even got there, there was a policeman who had been watching me sit and debate with myself, who said, didn't you know what that sign meant? And I said, obviously not. I mean, I really did. I sat there and went, should I do this or shouldn't I do this? Decided to do it, and it was the wrong move, you know.
Did he appreciate your debate?
He did not. Shouldn't have done it anyway. Yeah, so that's one of those experiences where I really did think about it, but I still made the wrong decision.
It wasn't a full U-turn.
It wasn't a full U-turn. It was into a parking lot. It wasn't a... And then I had another experience that's really graphic, where my son, when he was in high school, and I was moving and going to spend a lot more time where I live now in Idaho in the mountains, where I knew a higher clearance vehicle with four-wheel drive would be really useful. And my son needed a new car as well in high school. And he found, I said, why don't you find a car that we can both use? I can use it when I'm up at the cabin, and you can use it when you're down here in Salt Lake. He found this Bronco, and it was everything he ever wanted, and it would work. It was up off the ground, etc. The transmission didn't work on it. And something about that said, Susie, no, don't go there. You know, you don't buy a car that's not running.
No.
You don't. Well, he knew a guy who was a mechanic who said he could fix it very reasonably. And he kept after me and kept after me. And, you know, this was my sign. My stomach was just churning in me every time he said something about it. And finally, I broke down and I said, okay, we'll buy it and we'll get it fixed. We did. We got it fixed. It ran. It was beautiful. The first day he drove it, he backed into another car and totaled it. I never got in that car, ever. I never got my foot inside it to drive it. And I went, I should have known better. We put all that money into it. No sooner got it fixed than. Anyway, so those are a couple of my stories about overriding my signals. And when I was getting signals, it wasn't right. Now, when I am congruent, I have a full body, goes from floor to ceiling. It doesn't churn around in my stomach here and pull me back and forth like this, which is what happens when I'm incongruent. It's a whole body sensation that and a voice, only one voice, going, yes, that's what you want to do. When I'm incongruent, I have two voices, one that says, Well, maybe you should do that, and another that says maybe not. So those are just some of my signals. Now, we've got just enough time today for you to get with a partner and begin to figure out by contrasting a time you were congruent, where it was all systems go. You may have been incongruent to begin with, but when you finally made a decision, it's like, yes, all parts of me agree. What do you notice, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, inside you that are your signals? And how is that different from when you are feeling incongruent? So that you can recognize on the inside which signal you're getting when you're about to make a decision. Do you all understand the importance of this? Oh, wow. Yeah, uh-huh.
So I imagine through practice this becomes better, but how do you distinguish between being nervous about doing something versus being incongruent?
Well, you ask a part. Is this just nervousness? Okay, I'm the queen of parts. I'm the queen of parts. I believe our parts are really valuable. If I have a question, I check inside. Okay, is this nervousness or is this incongruence? Yeah. And see what response I get.
What if it's more like not inside you, it's more like external things happening?
Well, we want you to figure out what external things could be happening, but what's your internal response to what's happening externally? I mean, it's like with the car and things. That was outside me, but it's what was I paying attention to inside that let me know I should have been cautious? You know, and I've owned this cabin that I live in the woods. It was built when I was 8 years old. As a child, we went there every summer. And I've owned it for a long time because my parents have been gone over 30-some-odd years. And every year, I would check inside with myself and say, is it time to winterize the cabin so I could move it there permanently? And every year, I would get no, it's not time. And about 12 years ago, I checked with myself, is it time to winterize the cabin so I could move there? And it was like all systems go. And I did it and let go of the business in Salt Lake City and sold my house. And it's been just a really right decision. But over that 20 years before that, I kept checking. No, the time's not right. Part of it was I was on state leased land. And until I could buy the piece of ground my property sat on, I wasn't willing to put the investment into it. And finally, when that all came together, it's like, oh, yeah, now it's right. Yeah.
But just like you could make an incongruent decision that you then see the future that you should have listened to yourself, couldn't you make a congruent decision that turns out to be different than what you thought or things change?
Sure, but you wouldn't, you won't necessarily beat yourself up over that. If you go, at the time, I absolutely knew this was right for me, but circumstances outside of me changed. So, but I'm not going to beat myself up and feel bad about myself because of that. It's the difference in your, again, you can't control the rain. It's your reaction to it that you're going for. So, we got just enough time before we end today, because we're supposed to end around 5:30, for you to take 5 minutes each with a partner beginning to explore. And we'll continue on with this because we're going to be doing more with conflict and tomorrow. But this is your beginning to start saying, okay, when I feel congruent, do I have internal images, sounds, or kinesthetic sensations in my body that let me know that's congruent? When I am incongruent, what's the difference? So this is a contrastive.
And are we just, like, for the 5 minutes that we have for this, just kind of thinking about, okay, when I made that one decision and just trying to, like, get back in there to...
Yeah, get back in there. What do you notice? Okay. Then think about an incongruent, get back in there and go, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, this is different. I notice a difference, and this is what it might be. Okay? We got just enough time to play with a little. So find somebody to play with for 5 minutes each. Yes, we're doing more on congruence.